Game one tonight of the World Series between the Tampa Bay Rays and the Los Angeles Dodgers. Will Tate with Tyler Glasnow opposing Clayton Kershaw in the opener. And Scott Miller of Bleacher Report and Turner Sports joins us right now via the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line. Scott, thank you so much for joining us with Thompson. I'm Anthony Stalter. When you look at this World Series and you judge the matchup, what do you think will be the biggest determining factor in who eventually becomes champion?
You know, I think the biggest factor probably, you know, you can't fake it in baseball. It always comes down to pitching. And I think whoever pitches better will win. And that's usually the case. In fact, I always chuckle when I say that just because it takes me back to the mid to late 90s. I was covering the Minnesota Twins, and Tom Kelly, one of those old school guys, was managing. And, you know, I'd try my darndest to think of some good inside baseball question periodically to ask him. And it seemed like inevitably, you know, a fair amount of the time I'd ask what I thought was a really shrewd question. And he'd look at me in that old school gruff baseball way and he'd say, "Scotty, if we pitch better than them, we're going to win." And I mean, that's the truth. You know, the Dodgers lineup is a much better lineup. So I think, you know, the onus is going to be on Tampa Bay's pitchers to shut down the Dodgers. Because like I say, if you stack up lineup to lineup, I think the Dodgers are way better. Where Tampa Bay excels is run prevention, which means pitching and defense. And, you know, we'll go from there. I mean, the pitching matchups, Tampa Bay's got it lined up like they would like Tyler Glasnow in game one and Blake Snell in game two and Charlie Morton in game three, all on regular rest or extra rest. But the thing is, one thing about Tampa, they don't let their starters and we saw this with Charlie Morton the other day, when he had the two-hit shutout going in the sixth inning and got the hook anyway. They don't let their starters face the opposing lineup, a third time through. And so it's also going to be incumbent on Kevin Cash to pull the right levers with those stable of 98 to 100 mile an hour guys he has in the bullpen.
Well, it's interesting, Scott, because that is something that could very likely, that decision of letting a starter stay in the game or pulling him out even when things are going well, that could be a decision Dave Roberts has tonight. We all know the narrative that has been there with Clayton Kershaw. We did watch his last game as he cruised through five innings, and then the sixth innings, the wheels fall off a little bit. Do you think that we'll see Dave Roberts manage specifically Clayton Kershaw a little bit differently than we've seen him do so in the past?
Yeah, I think so, based on history and based on their opponent in this World Series. And why I say that last point is, it's just the way the game's been moving toward the analytics. And Tampa Bay, obviously, is one of the trendsetters there. And, you know, what Tampa Bay does and what they did with Charlie Morton the other day and on, that, to me, exacerbates some of what Clayton Kershaw's postseason failings have been. You know, I mean, I know he's got this reputation in the postseason. I don't think it's, I mean, certainly he's, you know, I mean, you got to live with what you do, right? But I'm not sure that it's completely warranted because, I mean, I think you have to, while looking at Kershaw's postseason numbers, I think you also have to give him some credit, especially going back earlier in his career, in the early 2010s, you know, back around 11, 12, 13, the Dodgers back then did not have a good bullpen. And so they did the opposite with him of what Tampa Bay does, right? They didn't remove him the third time through the order. They tried to milk as much out of him as they could because they didn't trust their bullpens. And, you know, some of what Kershaw's done in the postseason, at least the blow-ups, I think the Dodgers have to wear that themselves a little bit by not supporting him with a good bullpen and by asking him to do what's proven over time to be a little bit too much. And I think they realize that. And so the combination of that and, as I say, looking across the field, how Tampa runs things, not that the Dodgers are going to do everything Tampa does, but I think that'll just be a pretty good reminder that, yes, I think that the Dodgers will rescue Kershaw before a little too early rather than a little too late.
Scott, impossible to answer because you're not in Clayton Kershaw's head, but I figure if I can't ask the guy that co-authored 90% Mental along with Bob Tewksbury, who can I ask? Right? Like, how much of this do you think that over the years, I mean, we know how great he's been. He won the Cy Young three times. He's won an MVP. He's one of the best ever. If any team had an opportunity to get Clayton Kershaw, damn it, they would. Like, he's just one of those guys. How much of that stuff, though, the October struggles, the fact that he hasn't hoisted that, do you believe he brings that stuff to the mound with him in October now?
I'm going to give you a couple different answers here that all relate to each other. I've spent a lot of time with the Dodgers and Kershaw over the past several years and Octobers. On the Zoom conference, video conference yesterday, he seemed utterly relaxed and comfortable in his own shoes. I think part of it is, I think he really likes this team. He knows, I think this is as good a Dodger team as he's been on, despite all the success they've had in the past. He's been on really good teams, right? I think he really likes this team. And secondly, I think being in self-isolation / quarantine since the last week of the season, Kershaw and others talked a lot about how the team's gotten even closer because they're isolated in their hotel for the last 3 or 4 weeks. And you know, so when the games are done, they're meeting in a common meeting room with sometimes alone, sometimes with their wives, girlfriends, whoever. And they've all gotten to know each other a lot better. And I think that's helped put Kershaw at ease. I told you I was going to give you a couple things. One, the next thing, I was at the elimination game in Dodger Stadium last year when the Nationals ambushed him and the Dodgers and shocked them. And Kershaw's, I'll never forget standing in the middle of that Dodger clubhouse, you know, and Kershaw's there doing his interviews and his eyes were red. It was clear he had cried and he basically was at wit's end. And he said, all the stuff people have been saying about me in the postseason is true. It was a brutally honest moment last year. So I think you go from there to where I just said, I think he's very comfortable this year. But no, I don't think he completely can put everything out of his mind in October. I think because of who he is and what he's done in this game, I think maybe it's easier for him to push some of the October failures a little bit more to the back of his mind than it would be for some other pitchers. But still, and you brought the book with Tukes, 90% Mental, you know, one of the tenets there, and I think Kershaw's going to be pretty good at this, but, you know, like Tukes preaches to his people he instructs, a positive action can never come from a negative thought. That's one of the big tenets in 90% Mental. And Kershaw's big job, especially as he gets deeper in the game, and if he gets some traffic on the bases or something goes wrong, I think he'll have to work overtime to push those negative thoughts away.
Scott Miller joins us right now in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN National, MLB columnist for the Bleacher Report, also MLB Network radio analyst. And Scott, I know that you had written the piece after the Rays beat the Astros about how the Astros accomplished the feat. And I always find it fascinating, especially when you have the Dodgers and Rays. The Dodgers, certainly, they drafted well. But they also went out and they added a guy like Mookie Betts. Last year was Manny Machado. The Rays, they didn't add anybody, really, except for Randy Arozarena, as we know here in St. Louis. But that wasn't a marquee big trade or a big-time free agent acquisition. My question to you would be, if the Rays win the World Series, do you think that even bigger market MLB teams will continue to dive in and dissect what the Rays are doing and potentially go that route as opposed to more of the Dodgers where they're going to add big-time free agents or trades or do trades?
You know, I think we've seen the game start to move in that direction in the last 2 or 3 years. I think it's already happening. I think that's why, you know, the last winter, the free agent market got a little better, but the two winters prior to that, you know, they were sluggish. And, you know, the players are, that's part of the reason the players and owners are more at odds now than they've been. Now, I think the reason that for the sluggishness on the free agent market in those years recently is because we've reached a point now where all 30 teams have basically their front offices, if they're not 100% analytics driven, they're 70 or 80% analytics driven. I think we're already there. Some of the big money teams like the Dodgers, they'll pick and choose their players like Mookie Betts to give the 12-year gazillion-dollar contract to. But I think that's part of what we saw with Boston in the last year, right? I mean, the Red Sox, after they win a World Series, it's not even a year later, Dave Dombrowski's fired. And, you know, here's an old-school guy that did exactly what they asked him to do, come to Boston and build this World Series winner. He did. It's almost like Boston with four World Series titles now. It's like that ownership, John Henry and company, has already decided, well, we're either bored or we don't have to spend the money because we're seeing how teams like Tampa Bay does it. So they canned Dombrowski, and they hired Tampa Bay's guy, Chaim Bloom, to run the team. And next thing you know, they don't even think they need Mookie Betts, or they don't need to take a good, strong run at him. So, I think the game's already moved in that direction. I think it's moved in that direction. And I think, yes, if Tampa Bay beats the Dodgers, I think that's only going to solidify the movement to go further in that direction. And, you know, I'm mixed. I mean, Tampa Bay, it's a fun team and they're a very well-constructed team. But at the same time, I shudder to think in this game that we're going to reach a point where, you know, so many teams use openers and that you can reach a point where you can mix and match players, even if they're anonymous. I mean, I still think for the popularity of the game, you know, a night when Adam Wainwright is matching up against Max Scherzer, that still gets people watching. And I hope as the game moves deeper into this analytic movement, I worry that pitchers aren't being developed the way they should be and that we're going to move away from these aces, because the other thing is the aces like Wainwright and Scherzer, these guys are expensive as well, right? So if you can develop, you know, pitching rotations where you just mix and match guys and you don't have that stud at the beginning, it's cheaper for your team. So we'll see where it goes. But yes, I think we're already there.
You can follow Scott Miller on Twitter at Scott Miller BBL. Fascinating stuff from the MLB columnist from Bleacher Report. And I know you're there in Texas, Scott. Enjoy the World Series. We greatly appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. You as well.
Appreciate it. Thanks again, Scott Miller. Yeah, he brings up a really fascinating point, BT, and he mentioned that the Rays and the way that Major League Baseball teams operate, they're kind of already there. We knew that they were analytically driven. My question to Scott was more from a standpoint of teams looking at it and go, hey, we don't need to spend anything. We could just do what the Rays are doing, make sure that our scouting is tight. But not everybody, as we know, not everybody has made the Rays scouting staff, even though they continue to pluck guys and put them in their own front offices.
Yeah, no question. I think that there's a reason when you have that approach, you better look around and say, well, what the hell are the Pirates doing? Or what are the Orioles trying to do? Basically, what are all these teams that have been bottom feeders? What are they doing wrong that the Rays are getting right before you decide
they're not
to not
spending
spend
either.
Any money? Yeah.
Right. We don't have to spend. We'll win. Pittsburgh, Baltimore. There's a lot more examples of teams not spending and not winning. Yeah. All right, that's Brad Thompson. I'm Anthony Stalter, 314. Your time check is brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers, an officially licensed Rolex jeweler. Things have gone from bad to worse for the Dallas Cowboys. That'll be part of what's trending next in the Fast Lane.